say that it was just, but the power's what they lost. I want retribution.
Good evening, welcome to another Alpha Rubicon Campfire Chat. This is JohnBot007, your host once again this evening, and I thought I'd update the previous chat on the subject, which is basically getting started, since I was sick as a dog last time and it just sounded horrible. So we'll go ahead and redo that, and also we've got some better software this time. So in case you haven't noticed, we've also got really cool bumper music provided for us by Poker Face. That's from their last album, Sex, Lies, and Politics, track 7. Jesus Forgive Me, a whole bunch of good tunes on that album, and a new album on the way out very soon. So go on over to www.pokerface.com, check them out. New album's on the way, get your order in now, as they say. Be the first on your block to own one. There. That's officially about the biggest plug I could possibly give you guys. So, anyway, getting back to the subject at hand, getting started. Well, where do we start? That's what we're here to discuss. And I'm going to ramble on for about 10 or 15 minutes on the subject. Hopefully, I'll help you come up with some ideas for yourself on things you need to get decided for yourself, whether you're going to be a survival team, just your family, or, you know, it's a personal choice what you choose to prepare for. And that's part of deciding where to start. What are you going to prepare for? What are the things, the threats you feel are most likely? What concerns you the greatest? Those are things I can't decide for you, but you really would be best served by taking some time, thinking about where you live, the area, things around you, or the area you plan to bug out to, and you know, get yourself a priority list put together. What are the top 10 things that concern me? You know, from unemployment to an outbreak of smallpox, you know, a weapon of mass destruction, other, you know, a dirty nuke, earthquake, floods, you know, natural things, whatever it is, get your list. Top 10 things. Top 10 things that keep me up at night, and put them in order. That's the first step. The second step is probably going to be taking inventory. Now, I don't just mean go out to your garage and get all your camping gear and your survival stuff and your wheat grinder from, you know, L.L. Bean or survival.com or wherever you got it from. The first thing we want to inventory is probably our skills. Because in the end, no matter how much stuff you have on the shelves in your garage, in your closet, wherever it is you keep all this stuff, the most important tool you have, the best, most perfect survival tool you have, is the one residing between your ears. And hopefully, if you've planned well, it'll stay there and intact. And that's what we're trying to help you do tonight, so with any luck, we'll be successful. The place to start with skills is, of course, the inventory. Where do you stand now? What skills do you have? And you have to be honest with yourself. You're not going to benefit by telling yourself, oh yeah, yeah, I've got good medical skills, you know, because you were a Boy Scout 10, 15, 25 years ago and you took a first aid course and got a badge for it. Are you certified in CPR? Have you cross-trained with anybody that has real medical skills now? Somebody that does it on a daily basis? You know, what are you going to have to do to make that, you know, happen? That's something you need to work at. Look at every skill that way. What skills do I have? What skills do I need? As soon as you decide where you are, decide what you need the most. And again, a priority list. We're a society of list makers. And that's not a bad thing. A little obsessive-compulsive, maybe, but that's what keeps us on track. And the same goes for stuff. We all like to buy stuff, you know, whether it comes from Wally Worlds, Radio Slack, you know, the survival catalog of your choice or surplus catalog of your choice. Everybody loves stuff. I am just as big an impulse shopper as the next guy. You see stuff, you think, hey, I need that, or hey, I could use that. Next thing you know, you got three garages full of stuff. You got stuff coming out of boxes in every closet. You've got stuff you don't even remember buying every time you redo your storage system. But that's not really what we're looking for. We're not looking to have a bunch of really cool stuff. We're looking to have a package of survival preps, both food, equipment, medical gear, whatever category it comes from. We're wanting to assemble a logistically sound package of things that are going to help us maintain our quality of life and safety and health of ourselves, our family, our teammates. So, you know, basically, and nobody's had a harder time with this than I, because, like I said, I can spend some money. But, you know, go ahead and get your prioritized list together. Things you need the most. Things you need if whatever it is you're worried about happen tomorrow that you don't have. Things you'd really like to have. Things that would be nice to have. You know, you can prioritize through everything from skills, medical supplies, you know, food, ammunition, all of those things. And it doesn't hurt also to really think about what are you really going to use? Because a lot of us will sit there and we'll have a concept or an idea of what we're really going to need. But, you know, you oftentimes find out when you start doing stuff, all that stuff you read in the 12,000 survival manuals and all the books you've read and all the movies you've seen suddenly has left you in a place with a lot of false information, a lot of stuff that's not really quite right. It might have been right for them where they were in their situation, but it's not going to be right for you. The only way you're going to get around that is actually doing stuff yourself now. The time to find out there's a serious hole in your preps is not when you're in a survival situation. And like I said, the only way you're going to sidestep that problem is to find out now. And that means actually training. You know, training, ooh, it sounds ominous, but, you know, it just means integrating your plans for the future in a rather bad event to, you know, the way you live now sometimes, because eventually you've got to draw those two things a little closer. Your everyday lifestyle versus your planned survival lifestyle have to become a little bit closer than the average person. If you're going to be an armchair survivalist and put up, you know, $10,000 worth of food, water, ammo, medical supplies, have not tested any of it, have never lived on the foodstuffs, have never had to really, you know, go and get any serious training medical-wise. I mean, you're going to be in a hard place. You know, 6-9 months in, maybe not even that long, something's going to happen, and you're going to realize, wow, you know, things are not quite like I planned. Things have a way of going exactly the way you didn't plan them. So, you know, I can't really stress that enough. You know, it's the little details you find out, like the fact that it takes a lot less fuel to make beans in a pressure cooker than it does soaking them and making them in a pot, versus not soaking them and making them in a pot, which heats up a whole lot of fuel. Yeah, the little things you're only going to find out if you're actually making beans, if you're actually using your preps. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to integrate that type of food a little more into your diet now if it's the bulk of your storage food for, you know, survival preps. Because you better learn how to cook with it now, because it's going to be real bad when you're 6 months in and about ready to swallow your own pistol. You know, learn how to cook. Life's going to be a lot better. You know, there's a million little things you're going to find out, but only when you're actually doing them. You know, the devil is in the details. It's, you know, that little phrase has been around for a long time, and it's not any less true today than it was, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. You know, the small stuff can make a big difference. You know, every time that I go out with my equipment, if I'm just messing around with some of it, doing a little hunting or woods walking or, you know, we're at the retreat hanging out, you know, you're doing things that we're planning on being daily skills for us post-event, you know, you're going to find out a lot of little things that are going to make your life a lot easier when it's the real thing. So we've got our little inventory of things we have, skills we have. We've got our logistical analysis done of what we're really worried about preparing for. We've discussed it with our family, our team, what have you. And that's an important thing, too. Make sure you're discussing these things, because you might find that you've all got very different ideas about what you're preparing for. And it's a lot easier to prepare for something if everybody on the team, whether it's just immediate family or team, you know, small team, large team, doesn't matter. Stay on the same page. Make sure you all know where each other stand on given issues, because you may have to come to a compromise in certain areas as far as what you really want to prepare for. You've got to do it together. I mean, if, you know, aside, once you abandon the lone wolf concept of having a backpack or some stuff in the car or some stuff out in a cabin somewhere, and you're going to hunker down and you know, just drop out and, you know, to wait things out, so to speak. You know, once you've abandoned that fantasy, you're going to find out that, you know, compromise is going to be something that you're going to have to get good at, because, you know, nobody agrees all the time. You can have the best group of people, you know, you could ever hope to meet on your team, and, you know, you're still not all going to agree. But that's all right. You don't have to agree. Find your happy mediums. And, you know, because in the end, you're all looking for the same ultimate goal, and that's to be prepared for anything that comes down the line. It's just a matter of which ones you're going to spend more of your energy preparing for first. So with that said, we've got our little logistical analysis put together as well now, and we've talked about it with our teammate. We know what we want to prepare for. We know where we stand with our skills and equipment that we have, our food stores, all the good stuff, and now we're going to decide what do we need. We've been working on that list. We're going to get together on a group now and discuss this, because this is just as important as deciding what we're preparing for as a group. We need to decide what we're going to do to prepare for it as a group, as a team. There is no I in team. Another cliche I'll lavish upon you, but it's true. You've got to work together. And I'm here to tell you, it's a whole lot easier when you're working together. It's, you know, you can try to push somebody, but it's a whole lot easier to walk with them. So go ahead and discuss things. Keep the lines of communications open. It's probably the most important skill that you can master as far as keeping your team in a happy, productive place is, you know, communicating. Because obviously you're all good buds or you wouldn't be doing this together. There's obviously, you trust each other. You're, you know, so just keep talking about stuff. Don't let little things or, you know, stuff that you just haven't talked about, you know, rear its ugly head when, you know, talking is free. So go ahead and keep the lines of communications open. All right, I'm browbeating that point to death now. So we've got our list of our prioritized list. Now, what are we going to do to make that happen? Are we going to budget things as a group? Are we going to do it individually? Are we going to break up who's responsible for what gear, based maybe on their team position? You know, come up with some kind of a plan. In the early stages of the team, you know, you don't really have to iron out every last wrinkle in detail, but have a rough idea of how you plan to do things. You may find that certain things are easier for one member to take care of than another. And trade, you know, trade some stuff. You know, you can trade some responsibilities, and as long as you keep it roughly, you know, fiscally even, so to speak, you know, whereas you're not really taking advantage of anyone, and everybody's pulling their weight, you know, it's family. It's not a big problem. So, you know, try to keep things fair, but, you know, everything evens out in the end as long as you've got a good group of people working together. And probably the last points you can start to hammer out as you build things, as you train together and go over these points, you know, there's other things you're going to have to iron out for yourselves as a group, as far as standard operating procedures, tactics, you know, how you're going to address certain problems. You know, and you'll notice I'm not going into any great detail in any particular area. I'm not sitting here giving you lists of what I think you should have as far as, you know, firearms or medical gear, food stores, what kind of food stores I think are better. It doesn't matter, because I'm not going to have to eat your food stores. You're going to have to eat your food stores. So, you know, all I would say is that roughly, it's always a good idea to have stuff that you're going to rotate out. If you're not eating what you're storing, you're probably doing yourself and your team a disservice. So either you're going to have to change the way you eat a little bit, or you're going to have to change the way you store a little bit food-wise, if that's the case with you. So something to think about and keep in mind. A little bit of each, you know, never killed anybody. So it's always good that, you know, there's a lot of upsides to that as well. You know, you can actually save money. I mean, it's kind of funny, actually, because there aren't too many things in this type of lifestyle that are really going to save you money. Yeah, you know, alternate power might bring your power bill down a little bit, and you can save money buying things on sale and rotate out with food and all that, but in theory, that sounds great. I've never actually saved any money. You know, we've kind of laughed about it several times on the board. I don't know why it never works out that way. Probably because there's always something else we're preparing for, or something we've upgraded, or somewhere we've realized we've done something wrong. And so I, you know, it's kind of the black hole of survival preps. I don't know where all the stuff goes. It just goes there. But in the long run, no matter what you've paid for, your gear and your food preps and your medical skills, it's a very cheap insurance policy compared to, if you look at even just simply whatever the event is that triggers it, you know, a serious financial collapse, hyperinflation, spending out of control. In a matter of a month or two, your survival preps could very easily pay for themselves tenfold or more. No matter how much you paid for them. I mean, that's just, if you do the math and you look at some of the models people have come up with for some of those problems, it doesn't take long to see that no matter how much it sets you back, no matter how much it stresses your budget a little bit, you know, you shouldn't really hurt yourself. You know, you need a realistic budget where you can add steadily to your survival preps and you know, try to stay along the lines of the plan you've made for your purchases. But you know, as long as you're not you know, falling into debt over it, because you really shouldn't be doing that, you're still ahead, because this is cheap insurance, and you can't buy it at State Farm or any other carrier that I can think of. This is an insurance policy you've got to build yourself, and it's not just stuff; it's skills, time, effort, and relationships with other people on your team. All things that take time to build. But in the end, well worth it. And very well could be the exact efforts that end with your team and family being all right on the other side of some really bad stuff that could or maybe isn't just around the corner. Who knows? You know, I can't see the future. I'm not Dionne Warwick. Don't have any psychic friends that I'm aware of. So I'm not going to prognosticate the future for you. But, you know, nobody ever died from having too much food in the closet, and nobody ever went broke from setting things back for a rainy day. So, you know, with that in mind, good luck on your preps. I hope some of the stuff I've brought up has got the little wheels cranking there. And break out your notebook or your keyboard, whatever you use, and start thinking about this stuff. Start listing it out. And, you know, there's a lot of ways you can upgrade your skills nearly free. There's a lot of community programs that are free or nearly free. You can get into ham radio. You can find some medical training, at least for basic CPR and so forth. You can get some instruction on storm spotting, stuff like that. So a lot of the amateur radio clubs are tied in with things like that. All kinds of things. Check the class schedules at your local community college. Odds are, if you look through them, whether it's basic mechanics, you know, any of that stuff. There's going to be woodworking, anything. I mean, you're going to find at least two or three classes in their catalog that if you think about it, you'll think, you know, I always did want to kind of learn about that. And come up with a prioritized list for those too, because one, it's fun. I mean, learning stuff is fun. You know, there's nothing wrong with learning something just because, you know, just for fun. But most skills, you know, feed your best piece of survival equipment, as I mentioned, the one between your ears. You know, so have a ball with it. And because it's not all doom and gloom stuff, being a survivalist, being into the independent lifestyle and self-sufficiency. You know, sometimes, don't tell anybody, but it's actually a whole lot of fun. So enjoy yourself, you know, have fun with your friends, your team as you build things. And I hope these series of chats have helped you in some way. If not, hopefully some entertainment value was in there for you. Either way, have a good evening, and we'll see you on the other side.